The reading tonight comes from the letter of the Colossians in chapter 1, beginning in verse 15 and going through verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You may be seated.
If I were to ask you which one we're supposed to be like, would you know? Eggs, carrots, coffee. Which one is it? You'll have to find out at the end of the lesson. So don't fall asleep. Second question. Did God create everything on his own? You'll find out in the middle of the lesson. Good evening to everybody. Glad you made the choice to be here again for worship. One thing I've been impressed about at Florence Boulevard is the high number of attendance as far as percentage-wise on a Sunday night. I guess that credit needs to go back all the way to, what, Kelby Smith, maybe? As he preached years ago, is that correct? I believe that's the case. And the credit needs to be given to you and your choice to be here. I don't think Sunday evenings are unimportant, but rather, I think they're very important. I know I, for one, eat at least 2 to 3 meals every day, every single day. And if I can get a fourth and a fifth one in, I'm going to do it. When it comes to our spiritual lives, we got to eat. And what better place to eat spiritual food than with God's people? Amen? All right, church, you're going to need to know I love amens. I love them. It helps me preach. Greg, he talked about in Bible class this morning, he said one thing about a previous time, he said, now I know with Austin, we're going to have plenty of Bible class time. But he said, don't misunderstand that, Austin. Don't you dare preach any longer. Just to warn you, some people think that amens will make the preacher go longer and longer. Just amen me anyway, okay? How about that? Can we do that? Amen. We'll work on it. Another thing I like to do, I love to pray to God before I preach. I stand before you merely as a spokesman. I want to communicate God's word. And I pray regularly for my communication of it. And that's why I like to begin before preaching, asking God's blessing on this time. So if you would, bow your head and heart with me. Our God, we pray that it's your power and your majesty that we see and experience tonight as we open up your word. In worship, Father, a wonderful time to retreat from the busyness of life and the chaos that this world seems to be pushing on us at all times. We can find peace in this family. We can find faith in this family. And we can find encouragement in this family. And Father, we give you thanks for that. We pray that you're speaking to us and that we, as your worshipers, are listening to you and at the same time exalting and worshiping you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did God create on his own? What is Jesus' role in creation? Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20 is the text that we're going to read. But before we get there, I want to tell you about a little girl and her conversation with a man named Gutzon Borglums. I suggest, if you're pregnant, not to use that as a name. In addition to Mount Rushmore, one of Gutzon Borglum's great works as a sculptor is the head of Lincoln in the Capitol at Washington. You see, he created it from a large square block of stone in his studio. And one day, when the face of Lincoln was just beginning to take shape and form in that block, it was just becoming recognizable out of stone, a young girl came with her parents to visit his studio. She looked at the half-done face of Lincoln, and her eyes were registering wonder and astonishment. And she stared at that piece for just a moment, and then she ran to the sculptor, Goodson. She said, "Is that Abraham Lincoln?" He said, "Yes." "Well," said the little girl, "how did you know that his face was in that block?" Obviously, the face was not in the block. But in the innocence of that child, she thought that he was just uncovering a face that was there, but rather it was being sculpted by the sculptor. When we look to creation, I mentioned it in passing this morning. When we look to creation, God didn't carve us out of a block, and we weren't created within this enormous block of matter, but rather we were sculpted by the sculptor. And everything that was created out of nothing. But was it God alone? Look in Colossians 1, 15 to 20. And I hope your Bible is there, because I don't want you to take my word for it, but rather take God's word for it. I'm going to teach the text, verses 15 to 20, and then I'm going to apply to the text, and then I'm going to answer the question, egg, carrots, coffee. Let's teach the text in Colossians chapter 1. You need to know off the bat that when we're in the Colossian letter, that Paul is talking about the Christ of the church. In different letters like Galatians and Ephesians, he's talking about the church of the Christ. And there's a difference there. But in the Colossian letter, he's talking about the Christ of the church. Why? Because in Colossae, there was some teaching going around that wasn't good, it wasn't true, it was false, and it was taking people away. So he needed to emphasize fundamental truths about the Christ of the church. And that's what chapter 1 is talking about. So when we set off in verse 15, he, capital H in my Bible, is in direct reference to Jesus. Are you with me? He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. Now we can talk about that phrase in a moment, but I want you to hone in on verse 16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things, did you catch me? All things were created through him and for him. Isn't it interesting that by inspiration of the Spirit, Paul said, through Jesus were all things created. Now, I know you're a Bible student and you're immediately thinking, but in Genesis 1, verse 1, it said God created all things. And you would be right. But turn to Genesis chapter 1 and keep your hand in Colossians chapter 1. You got it? Hand in, flip over. Or if you're on your phone, just bookmark it and click to the next place. Use your phone if you need to. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You would be correct. But one thing I want you to make reference of is this. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, there's a little conversation up in the heavens. And it's this wonderful, eternal, in the heavens conversation that we get to peer into. And it's almost like we're seeing God talk in that celestial existence. It's pretty awesome. Here's what it's talking about. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So right there in verse 26, you see that God is referenced in plurality. Now, you know as a Bible student and as a developed person of faith that God is three in one. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. He's the Trinity, the deity, if you will. He's three persons in one. He's the Swiss Army knife of God. He has multiple functions within one tool. And while on the outside of that Swiss Army knife, my great-uncle Paul passed away a couple weeks ago, and he gave me two of his knives. Two that happened to be Swiss Army knives, and I was very grateful for them. And I carry them through the week. And what I love about that Swiss Army knife is it's one tool. I keep it in my pocket. You probably carry a multi-tool. You pop open one thing, it can do one function. You pop up another, I'm flipping open a bottle. You do another one, it's got like a toothpick. Another thing's got tweezers, which, by the way, a toothpick and a utility knife, that's just kind of weird and creepy and dirty. I'm not going to use mine. You use yours at your own disposal. But you understand the idea of a multi-tool? God could be in some way described as a multi-tool. He's God the Father, who's in charge of creating the plan. God the Son, who you're going to find out is in charge of speaking the plan. And God the Spirit, who is in charge of empowering the plan. Oh boy, I get excited about this. So yes, God created everything, but it was God who created everything in Trinitarian form, in deity form. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Here's what I find interesting when we pray. Oftentimes with children, God, thank you. Thank you for being our Father. And thank you for Jesus. And isn't that sweet? I probably cry every time I hear a child pray. But what I find interesting is when those children pray, and oftentimes when I'm speaking with people about worshiping with us or about their relationship with God, I ask people, what's your relationship with God like? Oh, they say, oh, I love God and I love Jesus. I'm like, well, what about the Spirit, right? Because there are three in one, amen? All right, nobody's listening to me tonight. We're going to get there, it's okay. There's three persons in the Godhead. And in Genesis 1:26, I believe that all three are in reference when they say, let us make man in our image, and in our image we will create them. And so in Genesis 1:1, I believe it's the very same thing. Therefore, God created. In the beginning, God in plurality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Well, I already gave you an answer that it was God the Father who created the plan. Now, flip back over to Colossians chapter 1. If God created the plan that was in place even before the foundations of the world, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, what's God's role? You're going to see why this is powerful. We already know, according to verse 15, that Jesus is before all creation. He's over all creation. We see in verse 16 that through him all things were created. So there has to be some idea and some explanation for that if God created all things before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 verse 3, and Jesus is the one through whom it was created, there has to be some role that we can define. And I'd like to do that tonight. Keep reading in the text of Colossians 1, verse 17. You see, he is before all things. You also see that in him all things hold together. So he is above creation. He's the one through whom everything was created. He's before all creation in his eternal existence. And through him all things hold together. He is the glue that binds. I started studying linchpins today. I've heard the phrase linchpin oftentimes in my life, but I had no clue what it was. Do you know what a linchpin is? Well, in olden days, and I am in no way can I speak to this, and so I'm probably going to butcher it. In olden days with wagons, horse-drawn carts, there were solid axles on wooden wheels, and the axles went through the hole in the middle of the wheel. And in order to keep the axle, or the wheel rather, on the axle, they threw in a linchpin right here. It locked in this hole so that when the horse and buggy was going down the bumpy road, the axle wouldn't pull out. What does a linchpin do? Holds it together. When I say that Jesus is the linchpin of all creation, he is the one who holds it all together. That without him, on the bumpiness of the road, the axle would pull out, the wheel would fall off, and we would be spinning off to our crash and burn destiny. But you see, Jesus being the linchpin of all creation, according to verse 17, we realize how important his role is. So know this, his role is different than God the Father. God created the plan, Ephesians 1, verse 3. And Jesus had a different part in that plan. Now you need to turn to John chapter 1. This is where we get to put specifics in the description of Jesus' role. Popularly, in the beginning was the Word. There you go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, catch this, was God. Now, you know from Bible study that this is probably in reference to Jesus, but why would he be referenced as the Word? Why would he be described by the Spirit as the Word who was with God, who was God? Well, no doubt Jesus came and spoke. No doubt he gave words of life, and he did. But could it also be that if God's role, the Father, in creation was the designer of the plan, that Jesus' role in creation was to be the one who spoke the plan into existence, and by him were all things created? I think it could be the case. He was called the Word. In my opinion, and this is Austin's opinion, in my opinion, because God said, here's the plan. Son, put it into action. Spirit, empower it to be done. And so even in creation, we see the beauty and the majesty of the deity, three in one, working together seamlessly, perfectly, and eternally. And I, for one, am grateful that we can serve that God. You may have known that before. You may not have ever heard that before. But I wanted us to learn a little bit about Jesus' role in creation. Why? I want to teach the text and then apply it to our lives. So we're back in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Now that the text has been taught just a little bit, I want to apply it starting in verse 18. You see, here's a distinction that's made. We go from creation to church. 15 to 17 is creation. 18 and following is church, starting in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. You see, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Watch this. You ready for it? God made the plan of creation, gave it to Jesus to speak into existence. It happened. And now Paul's making a parallel. He's going from creation to church. And isn't it the truth that God created the plan for the salvation of mankind? You see, we were chosen in him even before the foundations of the world, that we might be blessed in the beloved, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 6. Isn't it interesting? Watch this parallel. God created the plan to save mankind. He gave it to Jesus, who came down on earth. He left his home in heaven to dwell among men. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And it happened. And so Paul is saying, here's the power of the Godhead in creation. Here's the power of the Godhead in church. I love that. Because he's talking to a group of people who are being taught false doctrine, who are being told different things. And today, as we apply that to our current situation, we need to be like the Colossian Christians and be reminded of a fundamental and foundational truth that God had the plan, Jesus spoke it into existence, and it is. We are the outcome of that action. But you're wondering, Austin, you emphasize the Spirit. Now, where did the Spirit go? He's always been invisible. I guess he'll stay that way in your sermon. Wrong. Here's where the Spirit comes into play. God spoke it, Jesus lived it, and the Spirit came and inspired it. According to John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13, Jesus said, I've got to go. The apostles are like, no, not yet. He said, I've got to go, because if I don't come, the Helper will not come. And you see, he's going to come and guide you into all truth. And that Spirit came. Not only did he empower miracles within the apostles' lives in Acts. Not only did he empower the writing of Scripture according to 1 Peter 1, 19 to 21 and the 2 Timothy letter, not only did he empower miracles, empower Scripture, he empowers us as Christians today. You see, if you're a Christian, the Spirit dwells in you. God gave it to you, a temple for him to dwell in, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. He's empowering us to live faith-filled lives. Not just faith-filled lives. He's empowering us to live transformed lives. Eggs, carrots, and coffee. Are you awake? Well, I didn't hear an amen, but I'm going to assume since your eyes are open, you're with me. You put eggs into a pot of boiling water. What happens? They harden. What we don't need to be is hardened by the world around us. What we don't need to be is hardened by the God who is above us. Some people are like, I can't serve that God. He's harsh and he's mean. And you become calloused and you become cold and your heart becomes hardened. Like the Bible talks about with Pharaoh in the Old Testament. We don't need to be like the egg. What about a carrot? What happens to a carrot when you put it into a pot of boiling water? The men are like, I don't know. Lady's like, oh, well, I know. It's softened. What happens if you leave that carrot in too long? You put your fork in it and you pull it up. What happens to the carrot? It just becomes mush. We don't need to be softened to the point that we're just mush and nothing. Now, what about coffee? If an egg becomes hard and then a carrot becomes softened, even maybe to the point that it becomes nothing edible, coffee transforms the water. And in this world, with that God, our God, I don't want to be hardened. I don't want to become mush. God has called us to transform the water, to change the world around us. We live transformed lives by the power of God in His plan through His Son with the Spirit that's in us. We're not being hardened, we're not being softened into nothing, but we are transforming ourselves and those around us. Are you living a transformed life? Does your life speak a message? Does it give a witness and a testimony that I've been transformed by God Almighty? I think that might be the message that God wanted us to hear tonight. And I hope in some way, in your pot of boiling water, which is the life that you're living, that you've been transformed and you're working to transform those around you. And if you haven't been, tonight would be a great night to start. I'm pausing because whenever I just say that, everybody's saying, well, he's done. Songbook. Get the right note. Put up the stuff. Hear me, church. Transformation can happen right now. You might not see the effects, but it begins with a heart that makes a choice to be devoted to God fully. Most of us are probably Christians in this room. If you're not a Christian, the gospel message is that Jesus saves. He saved us in by His death on the cross, the blood that was spilt in submission to God's plan. You can be saved in that same way. Meeting Jesus in His death, being buried in His blood, rising to walk in newness of life. We can read about that in many different places. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 would be a good start. Please be a Christian tonight if you're not. But Christians, be transformed in the way you live your life. Do not submit yourselves, therefore, again to a yoke of slavery, but be transformed. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm a slave to the Savior who I've given my life to, who has saved me and set me free. Live it. And transform the water around you. If you need help tonight, come forward. Let us help you as we stand and sing together.